And it doesn't mean that life will be easy, but because we're in a sin-cursed world. And because of that, there are trials and struggles and ailments that impede sometimes our lives. But there's much to be grateful for. And one of those reasons why we ought to be grateful is spoken of here in chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 2. And verse 3 it'll be the main text, but we'll begin reading verse 1 this evening. And the Bible says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Speaking again and saying, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And, it's essential, it's needful for us to give heed to the things that we've heard, to the word that has been spoken to us. And because if we don't, there's a fear or there's a chance that we're going to let them slip. Let them slip. Let it slip isn't necessarily let it fall, but to let it slip gives a picture of drifting away. You ever been to the ocean? Anybody ever been to the ocean, middle of the ocean? You know, you can be in the ocean, and I remember as a child being in the ocean, and you could be in one place, and all of a sudden, you find yourself deeper than where you started. And it just happens. Why? Because you began to do what? You began to drift. Not paying attention to it. You're just playing along and things like that, just floating along. And before you know it, you're out there with a little trepidation because how am I going to get back? But that's the way that things happen sometimes with the Word of God. You see, he's writing to the Hebrews, the Hebrew believers that were brought out of Judaism. And they were given the word, they were given the way of salvation, the truth. But because they were still around the Judaizers, it was easy for them to do what? To allow what had been given to them to slip. And so he's reminding them to take heed to the things that they have heard, that they would not allow themselves to slip back into. Now, they wouldn't lose their salvation, but they'd certainly lose their testimony, their witness. It's easy for us and for the believer. No, you're not going to lose your salvation. Well, Scripture bears that out. But we can live like the lost if we allow things to slip. And our witness and our testimony becomes nothing. And we can't, we become like Lot. Remember Lot? When the angels came to him, and they were going to take Lot and his family out of Sodom. And when Lot came to his sons-in-law to tell them about what was going to happen, the Bible says that they looked at him as one that mocked. They didn't believe him. You know why? Because he hadn't been living the way that he should have been living. He had allowed what? His faith that he had when he was with Abraham to slip. And he finds himself in a place where people look at him and it's like, you're kidding me, Lot. You're kidding me. You're telling me that you believe in God? You're telling me that today to a believer, you're telling me that you're a Christian? The way you talk, the way you live, the way you act? It's not a good place to be. Well, how did it happen? Well, you allowed things to slip. He goes on, for if the words spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. The words that were spoken, and here this word, the word angels, means messengers. Maybe the words that were spoken by the prophets. You know, when God spoke to the people by the prophets, when he told them that something was going to happen, it happened. When the people of Israel disobeyed and the prophet was sent to them to give them the word of the Lord, if they didn't repent, then the judgment of God was going to be upon them. And they received what? They received a just recompense of reward. They earned what they got. Don't ever think, oh, why is God doing this to me? Why is he doing it? You know what it is? It's a just recompense. That is a reward. You have earned that. When we get away from God, when we disobey the word of God, we cannot expect God to continue to bless us. And he's going to bring his hand of chastisement upon us. And we shouldn't question why. Because we know why. And it's always just. God is just. We look at our justice system today, and you say what? It's not just. Because people that can afford an attorney will get off on higher crimes than people that cannot afford an attorney with lesser crimes. You know what I mean? People that cannot afford it, they cannot pay the attorney, they will pay a steeper price than people that can afford a high-priced attorney that knows the system and is known in the system. And so our justice system isn't very just. It's slanted. And you can look at politicians, how they get away with things, but we're not going to go there this evening. We're looking at the Word of God, and we're looking at verse 3, where he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, I can give you the answer. You can't. You cannot escape. If people neglect salvation, there's going to be no other escape. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to wait till I get before God. I'm going to wait till I get before God, and then whatever he says, maybe he'll let me. No. You can rest assured. If you do not get the matter of salvation settled before you pass away or before the Lord returns, you're not going to get it settled later. Once you are before the great white throne judgment of God, it's too late. If you take that last breath without accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there will not be another opportunity. It's done. It's finished. So there's no escape there. But he speaks about neglect, so great a salvation. The neglect of so great a salvation. And we're going to look this evening again at so great salvation. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your watch care over us. Father, we do thank you tonight for so great a salvation. Father, help us to be mindful of how great this salvation truly is. We pray that you would use your word in our hearts to encourage us, to strengthen us, and Lord, that we might that we wouldn't allow this truth to slip in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, Lord, that we would, Lord, be the people that you desire for us to be. And we just pray for your blessing now upon your word, and we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. He speaks first here of how shall we escape if we neglect? How shall we escape if we neglect? For the life of me, I cannot understand why people would neglect so great a salvation. Why would they? Why would they reject it? Why would they allow the gospel to be presented to them, and comes a time for individuals to make a decision, and then they say what? I'm good. Or not right now. And they neglect it. I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. We have the account of King Agrippa, who said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded. But almost persuaded is to be lost. He never got saved. But why is it that people would neglect? Why is it that people would neglect the salvation, again, which is offered to them freely? Why is it that people would neglect this salvation which God offers through his Son? Why is it? Well, one of the reasons why they would neglect is because of pride. Because of pride. It is hard for people or people just simply don't want to admit that they are a helpless sinner. They don't want to accept what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, the Bible doesn't say that all have murdered. The Bible doesn't say that all have committed adultery. The Bible doesn't say that all have committed larceny or something of that sort. The Bible simply says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it is hard for people to admit that what? I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And yet every one of us is. There isn't an individual that has not sinned. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. They believe, people believe in their pride that they can live a life that is good enough without God's help. That they can live a life that is good enough. A life that is good enough to please God. To think that is to do what? To bring down the holiness of God. If you and I can attain it, then God is not very holy, but we can't. That is why we have a need of a Savior. There are those individuals who the Bible calls drunkards. We want to call the world wants to call them alcoholics, and they want to say these people have a it's a disease that they have. No, it's a sin that they have. and it has them by the throat. And they like to tell you, well, I can quit drinking anytime I want. No, they can't. They have to keep going back. They have to go back to that drink. They have to go back, and yet they're not willing to admit it. Why? Just to say, for the same reason that other people aren't willing to admit that they're sinners. That what they are doing goes contrary to the law of God. It is pride. It is pride. Why do people neglect this great salvation? Well, because of their pride. Men neglect salvation because of the love for evil. They don't want to give up the life that they're living. I have too much to lose, they say. When in reality, they have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Nothing to lose. When I got saved, I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. I had a new life in Christ. But men, they have a love for evil. They have a love for the things that they do. And in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told, that men love darkness, what? Rather than light, why? Because their deeds were evil. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Those that will not turn to Christ, they are condemned already. They're condemned. They don't have to wait till the end to know their fate, to know where they're going to spend eternity. He that believeth not, the Bible says, is condemned already. Why? Because they've not believed in the only begotten Son of God. Once we accept the Lord and we look back and we think, man, why won't people get saved? Well, for the same reasons that you and I wouldn't get saved before we got saved. Maybe pride. Maybe it was the love of evil, the love of that life. Although we knew that it was displeasing to God, it was pleasing to us. And we had a love for that life. We had a love for what we were doing. Even though we recognized that it was evil. And it kept us from believing. It was simply unbelief. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We see the neglect of man, but we want to focus the rest of our time on the great salvation. This great salvation, and too many times we tend to overlook how great this salvation really is. Why is salvation great? Well, first of all, salvation is great because of the one who bestows it. Salvation is great because of the one who bestows that salvation. And who is that? That's God through Jesus Christ. The creator of all that's been created. He has a desire again to save man from his sins. He has a love and his mercy and his love. He desires to bestow salvation unto those that believe. You see, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want the wicked to perish. He desires for the wicked to turn from their wicked ways. people tend to look at God and they say, well, God just, he just wants to send people to hell. No, he doesn't. By the way, if God wanted to send people to hell, he would have every right to because of our sin. He doesn't have to answer to anybody. We've broken his law. We've gone against him. We've done what we have desired, what we wanted, which goes contrary to the word of God, to his commands. Why do we believe that we have the right to tell people how he ought to treat his creation? How many of us would feel comfortable to have somebody come into our house and tell us what we ought to have in our house and what we shouldn't? How many of us would feel comfortable to have somebody come into our house and tell us how we ought to conduct ourselves, what we ought to do, what we shouldn't do? Anybody? Would anybody like that? No, nobody would. Why? Because it's my house. That's what we say. So this world belongs to God. He created it. Everything that is on this earth, God created. Why do we feel we have a right to tell God how we ought to conduct this world? It seems silly to us. But that is what man thinks in his mind. He may not say, but that's what he thinks. But this great salvation, first of all, is great because of the one who bestows it. But salvation is great because it is all encompassing. No one is excluded from God's salvation. Aren't you glad for that? No one is excluded. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter your social standing. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter the language you speak. It doesn't matter how smart you are. I'm glad for that one. God's salvation excludes no one. No one. There's individuals in this world that get to such a low point in their lives. They get to such a low point in their lives that they ultimately end up taking their lives. Because they get to that place where they feel that they have nobody. They have no hope. When hope is readily available to them. All they have to do is turn to God, and he is willing to forgive. He's willing to take them from that place, that low place that they where they're at in their lives, and he's willing to take them up. He's willing to save them, to make them, to bring them into his family. The salvation is great because it is all encompassing. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. The hymn writer wrote what? Whosoever meaneth who? Whosoever meaneth me? Whoever you are. No one is excluded from this salvation. Whosoever will may take of the life or the water of life freely. Whosoever. There's no exclusion when it comes to the Lord. When it comes to this salvation which God so freely gives, which so freely imparts. There are those individuals who say, oh, I couldn't be saved. You wouldn't believe if I began to tell you. You wouldn't believe the things that I've done. You wouldn't believe it. God wouldn't save me. But what did Paul say? Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. Jesus came to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am what? I am chief. I'm the chiefest of sinners. Paul said, there isn't an individual that's worse than I am. He persecuted the church. He may not have killed people himself, but he was in charge of people, of individuals that killed and persecuted believers. There isn't a sin that God is not willing to forgive. Look at book of Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. Verse 23, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. There's no restrictions. There's no restrictions to them that could come. Anyone could come, regardless of the sins that they've committed, regardless of the acts that they have committed. It's the blood of Christ, again, God's Son, that cleanses a man from his sin. Others may not want to be around people because of the sins they've committed. Society may restrict individuals from certain places or from doing certain things. But God accepts all that come to him. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Why is this salvation great? Well, because it encompasses all man, every man. It doesn't matter who. Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter how they lived. They're willing to repent and accept Jesus Christ. Salvation is imparted to them. not only is it great because it's all-encompassing, but we've already pretty much looked at this second point, is because of its scope. How far down were you when God saved you? Well, most people will say, well, I wasn't that bad. I wasn't doing that bad. You know, I mean, I was close already. No, God had to reach down for every single one of us. Maybe deeper for some than others, but he had to reach down for every one of us. There was still a list of sins that we had committed. There was still a list of laws that we had broken. And the list was longer for some than for others. But we all still had a list. The scope, again, of this salvation. There isn't individuals bad enough that God wouldn't save them. Isn't that something? Doesn't that, just sit and think about that. Just sit and think about that very thought. Society may not forgive. Man may not be willing to forgive. But God is. And ultimately, all of our sin is against who? It's against God. Or we may offend an individual, or we may hurt an individual. But ultimately, our sin is always against God. It is always against God who imparts, who is willing to give the salvation. Which in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 or 2 and verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great? So great. A salvation. There's no other escape for it. There's no other way around it. Why is this salvation so great? Well, first of all, because of the one who imparts it, the one who imparts his salvation, the one who is willing to forgive. When you sit and think about what Christ or what God gave for your salvation and mine, when you think about it, we're the offenders. God was the one that was offended, but he sent his son. Does that make sense to you at all? That he would have to pay the price for my sin? And yet that's what God did. He paid the price for my salvation. I get the benefit. I get the blessing. I'm the offender. And yet he's the one that paid the price for my offense. It's all encompassing. It's because of its scope. It goes down as far down as he needs to go. God will go down as far as he needs to go to get whoever calls upon his name. You know, this salvation is great because it works. It works. Salvation changes lives. How many of you would say, if I was not saved, my life would be totally different today? If I was not saved, my life would be totally different. I don't know where I'd be. For all I know, I'd be dead and in hell by now. Yeah. I don't know where I'd be. I don't want to speculate. We have in the scriptures the accounts of individuals. Individuals whose lives were changed because of the miracles which the Lord performed upon them. And there's one such individual in the book of John. The book of John is a man that encounters, or the Lord encounters. And as the Lord comes to him in John chapter 9, in John chapter 9, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. The Bible tells again how the Lord brought sight to this man and told him, you know, put the mud on his eyes, told him to go wash, and he did. When those that didn't believe wanted to know, they wanted the answer as to who it is that had healed him. And they asked the parents, and the parents didn't want to get in trouble, so they said, hey, he's of age, go ahead and ask him. And they come to him and ask him, and of course they don't want to believe. In verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He says, I don't know. He says, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. He didn't know who Christ was. He says, I do know one thing. I do know one thing, that whereas I was blind, now I see. There's been a change. I know there's been a change in my life. My life is different. Why? Because Christ healed me. And I can tell you tonight, my life is different because Christ saved me. It's different. I don't know how different. I don't care how different. But I know that it's different. I'm like this blind man again who said, all I know is that I was blind, but now I see. And there was a time when I was blind. Not physically, but I was blind. I was blind from the truth. the truth appeared to me and I believed it. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and now I can see. Once I was lost, and now what? Now I'm saved. I'm saved. It's not just the fact that the difference between heaven and hell is between life and death. Because before salvation, we are dead in trespasses and sins. Everything that we do goes contrary to the Word of God. When we get saved, that changes. Now, we still sin. We're not perfect. We're not sinless, but we ought to sin less. We ought to sin less. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven whereby, given among men, whereby we must be saved. There again, there was a healing of a man, and the people were questioning. How did this man get healed? How was he healed? It's the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He says, what? There's no other name. You see, this man's life was changed. There was a difference in his life. Salvation works. Salvation changes things. Salvation changes lives. People want to try books and programs, and they want to, you know, they're willing to follow a 12 step. They're willing to follow a 6 step. They're willing to follow whatever step, however many steps you want me to follow, I'm willing to follow them. Well, why don't you just turn to Jesus? He'll make all the difference in the world. What is it that people need to see? You know what people need to see? That change. What brings people to salvation? The changes that are wrought in people's lives when they get saved. The changes. Man, you wouldn't believe this guy. If there was a fight, he was in it. If there was a fight, he was in it. After he got saved, man, you wouldn't believe it, the change that has happened in his life. What is that? It's the evidence of salvation. And the work that is wrought in an individual, why? Because of so great a salvation. Don't go thinking that, well, you know, I'm pretty good. No, you know what? We really aren't. If it wasn't for the Lord, we'd be living like the world is. And we read this morning in the book of Psalms and Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Why do they do that? You know why they do that? Because they're lost. Because they're the heathen. That's why they're acting like they're supposed to. But when salvation comes, lives are changed. And that is why salvation is so great. How shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation? You can see and you read again the lives of people whose lives were changed. Why? Because they got saved. And what a difference salvation made in lives. Is it making a difference in your life? Are you showing forth again that transformation that has happened? You go from being an ugly caterpillar to becoming what? A beautiful butterfly. Transformed. The transformation that happens in the life of the one who accepts the Lord as Savior. How shall we escape if we neglect? The question is, why would you want to neglect? Why would you want to neglect so great a salvation? Why? Why would you? Well, if you're here and you're saved, you say, I wouldn't. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I got saved. And the Lord's made a difference in my life. The Lord has changed my direction. The Lord has changed my life. The Lord has changed me. You know, that's a testimony that you have. That's a witness that you can use to tell others. Well, what is salvation going to do for me? Well, what's it going to do for me if I get saved? Well, it's going to change your life. That's what it's going to do. You go from a life of a worry to a life of peace. A life of fighting to a life of faith. Just trusting and walking with the Lord. What a life. So great a salvation. We have something to be grateful for tonight. If you hear you're saved, you have something to be grateful for. Yeah? The world's in chaos. People are worried. People are concerned. But the believer that is trusted in Jesus Christ, whose faith is in Christ, guess what? He has something to look forward to. Regardless of what the world's doing, we have so great a salvation. Father, we